Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 224. This evening's show, I didn't say tonight, this evening's show is brought to you by 850 equals 750. And I don't know what that means, but Kenny's going to tell us at some point soon.
No one knows what it means. It's provocative.
It gets the people going.
Oh, it doesn't. Sorry. Okay. We don't need to sing here.
I'll go quickly. My week has been mostly uneventful. I got in a really good trainer ride, and that's really all of note to talk about. It's been cold here, not unseasonably cold. It just went from being unseasonably warm to pretty much normal temperature, kind of like...
Yeah, and while the rest of the United States was getting snow and moisture, we got like 1 inch of snow here. Cumulatively, over like 3 nights, we got 1 inch of snow.
Yeah.
It was very disappointing.
It wasn't even enough that...
I didn't get to start the snowblower.
I went to run the trash down to the dumpster, and the truck didn't even want to get a little slippy. It was really disappointing. That was the whole purpose of taking the trash, was to
like whip some shitties.
Whip a little shitties in the old mini truck, you know? Which, by the way, I don't know if it won't be by the time this posts, but here pretty soon, that bad bitch is going to hit 197,000 miles.
She's just getting warmed up.
Big update. Surprise, surprise, when it's really cold, I was going to... I don't remember the reason.
After you finish this, I got a question for Kenny.
I've only locked my keys in my car maybe like twice in my life. So, it's really just a huge inconvenience. So...
Well, I got a story about that too.
One of the things that I do is if I'm going to leave a running vehicle, or leave a vehicle running while I'm not in it, I roll one of the windows down. Like, just a little bit, you know, like, a few inches. Enough to eat, like, 5 or 6 inches, so you could, like, reach in and open the door if you accidentally bumped the door lock or whatever. And, yeah, I'm just crazy. It was really cold, and the window crank knob just snapped off in my hand. So...
You told me that happened, but you didn't tell me why that happened.
And I was like, well, that's not what you want. And I just set it in my cup holder and grabbed the little stub that was left and, like, rolled it down a little bit,
ooh,
and I was
ooh.
Like...
Can I mummify, like, a beaver foot and put that on there?
No.
Damn it.
It won't stay in place.
I can make it stay in place.
You're not... You're welcome to buy your own mini truck and do that, if you would like. If you want to make me a mummified beaver foot dangly to hang from the window or the rearview mirror of the Jeep, that's fine.
All right.
Then so, for some reason, locking your keys in the car... reminds me of watching the videos of people on boats, and there's one person like water skiing or doing some type of water sports thing semi-connected to the boat in the back, and then you've got the lone driver who's doing something. They're going to hand them the rope or throw them a beer or something like that, and then they fall off the boat. Like the only person on the boat falls off of the boat with it going at water skiing speeds. It happens more than you would think, and that boat just keeps going until you run out of water.
They just run into whatever is in front of them at some point?
Yeah, usually the bank.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a bunch of them. You should go watch them. They're really entertaining.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
So don't be tempted. If you have a single water skier, single boat operator situation, don't stand up and walk backwards on the boat to do something back there while it's on cruise control. Which is just what boats do with throttles.
That sounds like a bad idea. Like, I don't...
Well, a lot of people do it.
A lot of people on boats are just fucking stupid.
Yeah, sounds like it.
That's your homework. So, go look up those videos.
You have to understand that I don't know the entire history of this truck, but...
What was the mileage on it when you got it?
166.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've only driven that on average 3,000 miles a year. No, a little more than that, 3,300.
All right. Continue.
But... this did happen once before, but it was on the other side. And there was a time that I was going to roll the wind. It doesn't matter. It's not important to this podcast. But I may have a doorknob or a window crank because I think I ordered a pair in the past. And if not, they're like $8, which is less than your car payment. So fuck you, mini trucking.
Just slap a vice grip on that thing and leave it on there. That's what most people
do. No, I know that no one believes me.
I mean, I would make a mummified beaver.
Can I hook an electric motor up to your nub?
Oh, that's a good idea.
It didn't break off there. It broke off on the other end. It still functions just annoyingly.
Well, either way, can but I also, hook an electric motor up to that? I'm going to make it fast. Like, you're going to have to be careful.
It just breaks the window against the top of the door frame.
Well, I was going to roll my window up.
The door frame.
Like, when that window hits the top of its travel, your car is going to go up in its suspension travel a little bit.
What would happen if you did both at once?
Hydraulics. You do those as you leave a jump.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I know it's really hard to believe, but I do take care of that truck, and I think it's actually really clean for its age and mileage. And my weekend plan is I'm going to get in some trainer riding, and I'm going to hopefully have dinner with some friends, and I'm going to pull the door panels off. I got new speakers for the mini truck, and
did we tell the story about... No, we did tell the story about how you figured out the speakers sucked.
No, we didn't.
I thought we did.
No,
because I remember you saying something like you thought I was being a picky bitch.
I told you that in person. I don't think we've talked about it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Andrea drove my truck and was like, the stereo in your truck sucks. And I was like, no, it doesn't. It's fine. It's like some cheapo head unit from Amazon. And she's like, no, the speakers suck. And I'm like, it's fine. But I never listened to music in the car. I always listened to podcasts. And one day I hopped in the car and Spotify just like autoplay. You know, it had been playing in my headphones and I cranked the truck and it started playing through the car or through the truck speakers. And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking awful.
Yeah.
So I got them Pioneers. Hell yeah. So that's my week. Yeah, that's what I got.
So I got a question for Kenny. Kenny, I saw on our local... you know, buy and sell page on Salida Swap. Someone was selling almost the same year. Your truck's a 98, isn't it?
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were selling a 99 Tacoma with a topper.
99 Tacoma, extra cab with a topper.
For $11,000.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I didn't know, Kenny, is there like a big markup on, like Toyotas here are ridiculously overpriced.
Yeah, so if you bought, for example, if you wanted a, I don't know, let's call it a 50,000 mile Tacoma or even a close to 100,000 mile Tacoma, that's last generations, it would probably be 40 at least.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right. I didn't know if that was just a Colorado thing or if it's a mountain thing or
definitely a West everywhere thing. Probably not as gnarly in other parts of the country, but West for sure. Tacomas go for a ridiculous amount of money. And I think the last generation's going even higher because nobody really loves the 4-cylinder turbo one that's out now.
Yeah. I don't like all the electronic. Like mine has this like radar thing in the front for like cruise control. Where it will adjust your speed if you, like, approach another vehicle.
Sure.
And it's got, like, a thing where if you're going to run into something, it hits the brakes for you and shit. Like, it's got that, and it's really fucking annoying.
I will say.
Because, like, if it's a little dirty or whatever, like, it fucks up and won't run the cruise control at all.
Yeah. In my opinion, the stuff that you need in a car after using all kinds of driver aids and stuff... to me, adaptive cruise is awesome. I use cruise control all the time, and especially on the interstate.
Yeah, that's nice.
It makes my rage level go from like a 9 to like an 8.5 if I can just do adaptive cruise control, because you just set it on 80 or whatever, and you know, you follow the slow person for a while, and then when it's clear, you go around them, and then you go back to going your speed, and then you get slowed down by somebody else. And at least it kind of does it for you, and you just have to like be switching lanes, and that is an amazing feature. But all that other stuff, like cars that slam on brakes, the amount of cars I've been in where you either have a bike rack or it sees a curb or something and fucking flips its shit and full on like breaks your neck brakes for no reason. I guess it's maybe saved some dumb people out there, but like the average driver, if you're half-ass paying attention, I don't think that stuff is good. And usually it causes all kinds of weird-ass issues. So again, technology, hell, even like tire pressure monitoring systems, all that stuff. It's good. I get it, but it just makes shit more expensive. So adaptive cruise is on my list. And I don't know, maybe heated seats.
Heated seats are nice. My 4Runner does not have heated seats. And
yeah,
I kind of
heated seats can be pretty cool. But like what I'm getting at is the list of things you actually need tech wise in your car are very low. Cameras, I think, are actually great. they're quite useful. Having like some really nice backup camera, 360 camera shit can be really helpful. I think that stuff is good. But all the other weird infotainment shit, like have a decent stereo in the thing. It just needs to have Bluetooth. Like you're going to use your phone anyway. I don't need a 97-inch screen in my car. That's ridiculous. Like use your, get the little mag charge thing for your phone, put it on your dash, run your Google Maps on that thing. Cars are getting way too expensive. We need to like take some of this shit out of them. But certain tech features are really good.
Other thing I would toss in there for driver, I think driver comfort goes into driver safety. So I would definitely say my top three things. I really don't care about adaptive cruise. I get where Kenny's coming from, but I just don't really have that luxury of driving that way regularly.
Use cruise control on every single street I go down, pretty much. I just do. It's habit. It's mostly so, like, I don't feel like getting tickets if I don't have to. So I just set it for a couple miles an hour above the speed limit. It's just habit for me. And it just makes my life so much easier. And making that adaptive is even cooler. But I'm weird about cruise control. It drives me bananas when people don't use it on the interstate. And I'm like following the same person for 200 miles and they're just yo-yoing all over the fucking place. And I still end up next to him at the end of the day. I'm like, get the fuck out of my life. Like, go slow or go fast. I don't want you near me.
All right. But where I was going is I want backup camera. I want heated seats. I want a heated steering wheel. And I think when I go heated steering wheel, the biggest thing I run into in the Subaru, and it's so goddamn annoying, is this will make more sense when I say the next one, which is fucking buttons. I want buttons. I don't want to do everything off of a touchscreen.
Touchscreens are the goddamn worst thing that a car could have ever. I hate touch buttons on anything, any piece of electronics. I don't know, a stereo at home, a coffee maker, or whatever the fuck. Give me some real goddamn clicky buttons. Those damn touch ones, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Fuck those things.
Well, one, you can't locate them without looking at them. But two, they don't work with gloves on. So if I had a heated steering wheel, I would have no gloves on when I'm driving when it's 8 degrees because, you know, your car's cold when you get in it. And yeah. Anyways, my point being, that's what I want. And with the backup camera, I think you should be able to turn it on. Just
anytime.
Just anytime.
Yeah.
That is a ridiculous rule that you're not allowed to have that thing on. Like, let me look behind me. What's the difference if I look at my mirror or stick my head out my window and look behind me versus me looking at my screen?
Yep. I drove a vehicle for a while that had an aftermarket backup cam that you could just flip to look out the back. And it was great.
It's really useful. You're towing a trailer. Like, make sure all your shit's still there.
It was the Rebel van, and yeah, I could look at my trailer. Another thing that was really cool, obviously I was in reverse while doing this, but you could turn it on, and once I knew it, you could see like a 16th on the screen. It was like a 16th of an inch of the ball, so you could watch yourself back up to your own trailer. And if you're like, oh, learn how to back up, well, cool.
Well, almost every truck these days has like trailer assist stuff. That's a real thing.
All right, we should keep going. We've talked about vehicle luxuries for like 10 minutes.
All right, let's hear what Kenny's been doing. What's 850 is not 750, or is that?
We'll get into that once we get into content. This is not content. This is just us rambling. So I haven't been doing anything exciting, unfortunately. No motor trips, no bike trips. I'm going to do probably a bike trip this weekend down south. It's been mildly cold. That's really about it here. Nothing crazy. We still got no snow. It's really bad for the snow industry.
It's really bad for things catching on fire, too. Does that mean it's my turn?
Your turn.
Yeah, well, I wasn't here last week. Well, I was in the house. I was wrapped up on the couch in a blanket with the dogs while Matt was recording because I felt like shit. I think I've talked about it before. I'm starting hormone replacement. And the first mix of hormones, I did not react well to progesterone, which is a kind of a common thing. That's the one most people have problems with, and I had problems with it, so got to try a different dose and formulation of that. And yeah, it just made me feel like shit. I still don't feel good. I haven't taken it for like 4 days, and I still feel pretty shitty, just not quite as shitty. And yeah, it's gonna be an ordeal to sort through all of this, and it kind of sucks. But other than that, I haven't done a lot. I've just been kind of out hiking, just trying to like keep myself a little bit active. I did some trapping. I don't know, it was like back before it snowed. I caught a few beavers out of a spot where they're damming up around like an irrigation diversion. You know, no one asked me to, but I know that people with irrigation ditches, like that's a big thing, is keeping beavers out of the irrigation ditch. So I found one, and it wasn't frozen solid like the place where I've been going. So I set some traps there and caught a few beavers out of there. So I should, I don't know, probably let them know I did that. If I can find out who the water rights people are, let them know I did that so they aren't like trying to do it come springtime when they're ready to open their ditch up. But that's about all that I have really been doing. So, yeah, we should get into content.
Okay. Let's start. What's 850 is not 750? I have to fucking know right now.
It's e-bike stuff.
Oh, is it battery capacity?
No. So,
is it handlebar width?
It's just e-bike regulation stuff. So, I don't want everyone's eyes to glaze over here. But, generally speaking, a class 1 bike, pedal assist only, 20 mile an hour top speed, and in the U.S., 750 watt maximum power. Doesn't mention torque. Torque's irrelevant. It really just comes down to power, which is the right answer. So those are kind of the rules. Pretty simple, right? And then a class 3 is the same thing, but 28 miles an hour, pedal assist only. And then class 2, we don't really care about. It's throttle stuff. So there you go. Class 1, class 3. This is a thing that Specialized got some people riled up about because most places that allow EMTBs only allow class 1 EMTBs, which is what every mountain bike from every major manufacturer has been, class 1. It goes 20 miles an hour, you gotta pedal it, and it makes 750 watts maximum. So everyone's been abiding by those rules. So DJI comes along and makes their Avanox / Amflow stuff, and more people are putting that in their bikes. And this was an issue that came up 6 months ago or whenever these bikes came on the market. And they have like 1,000 watts or 1,200 watts power and still technically have the correct speed limit. But they just make way more power than the legislation calls for. And they just kind of just did it anyway. So that's kind of annoying. But today I saw some snippets online of people getting over-the-air firmware updates for their Levos, where you now get up from 720 watts maybe on the S-Works, somewhere in that ballpark, and like somewhere in the 600 watt range for a non-S-Works Levo. They're now getting, and I might get this wrong by a few watts, but 850 watts for S-Works and 810 watts or something for the non-S-Works. So what are you doing, Specialized? Just not going to be legal bikes anymore. They're not going to be class 1 bikes, and they're not going to be class 3 bikes. What are we doing? They're just not class 1 and class 3 bikes anymore. I don't understand. So unless I'm missing some nuance somewhere.
No, it sounds like the problem is you do understand.
Yeah. So I've been worried about this for a while, especially after the DJI thing came out, is that if everybody just follows suit, nobody's going to be playing by the rules anymore. And then enough of the wrong people are going to get pissed off. And now e-bikes are going to be banned blanket. Statement. We already touched on this with the New Jersey stuff and, you know, what Surons have done to the market and all that stuff. But clearly a Suron is a very different animal from a class one mountain bike. So, but the problem is now we're blurring those lines even more. So what are we doing? We're going to get all EMTBs banned. Congratulations.
Well, I mean, people with e-bikes and Kenny, I kind of get the feeling that you might be in this group. I'm not sure. A lot of people with e-bikes have just been riding their e-bikes where e-bikes are banned. And at least I've been saying like, hey, that's not really a great idea because if you piss off the wrong people, just like you said, you piss off the wrong group of people and then you're going to end up with just more fuel to add to the ban all of the e-bikes everywhere argument.
Sure.
So yeah, like I agree with you. Like not only are people with e-bikes just being like, no one really cares. Occasionally you get like someone who's mad at you or whatever if you're riding an e-bike where it's not allowed, you know, but I just do it anyway and just ignore those people or smile and say hi and keep going, whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, it's like the same mentality, like that mentality of like, I'm just going to go ahead and ride my e-bike wherever just gives someone the leeway. Companies are like, hey, people are already just saying fuck it, so we might as well just go ahead and make them more powerful than they're supposed to be legally. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised that companies are doing that, because riders have already set a precedent of, we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want anyway.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. But it's not even, I totally see where you're coming from about riding them where you're not supposed to ride them. And generally speaking, all the trails I ride on do allow them. Park City does not. I haven't ridden Park City, to be honest, in a super long time. Have I ridden it on my e-bike? Yep, sure have. But all the stuff I ride local is all class one legal. But anyway, this is like, they're saying it's a class one bike. It's not a class one bike anymore. It's also not a class three bike anymore. And on top of all this stuff, the thing that also got people riled up, and I totally understand why, was the whole class three part of the S-Works Levos. Because everyone knows what they're going to do, even though it's labeled a class one bike, and every other Levo is a class one bike, but not this one. Because you just hit a button, and now it's a class three. And also, now it's a class three that makes 100 more watts than it's supposed to make. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. But I don't think it sets a good precedent. And I don't think it sets the tone for the industry properly. So I don't know. I don't know who's in charge of making those decisions. What I really hope is that I am mistaken on the actual letter of the law, but everywhere that I read mentions 750 watts maximum or peak. Same thing.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you take, like, the only way that you could actually get manufacturers to stop doing that is if people cared about those rules. And they've already said, we don't care about those rules. So, like, unless people just said, okay, well, your bike isn't technically legal, even where e-bikes are supposed to be legal, so I'm not going to buy one. And if people just didn't buy them when they weren't legal, that would make companies rethink their power numbers, or, you know, put some kind of a limiter where, yeah, maybe you could, like, use some software and hack the system and change it yourself. But, like, yeah, like, from the factory, they're going to do, until people say, okay, I'm not going to buy this because it's not legal, which we know they're not going to do because they're already riding them where they're not legal. So, you know, companies are just going to give the middle finger to the law as long as the people giving the companies money are giving the middle finger to the law.
It's just wild to me. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I really hope I'm reading something wrong. But even if I am somehow reading something wrong, what is the number then? Is it 2,000 watts? Is it 3,000 watts? What's the number? Everywhere I've seen, it's 750. Not 850 is 750, or 850 is pretty close to 750. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, yeah.
I don't like it either, but I can see, like, how no one is going to care because no one cares. So
I wouldn't say that. Like, I don't think that's accurate. Some people don't care. A lot of people buy mainstream bikes because they're mainstream bikes and they trust that this bike is legal. And everything about the Levos up until this point has been legal. It's a class one. It meets all the class one specifications, and you're breaking no rules if they allow e-bikes on the trail. But now you will be breaking the rules.
Yes, you will. And I think, though, what Andrea is saying is, I mean, as you said yourself, I haven't ridden Park City in a long time, but you have. And people ride them on every trail here in Salida, and they're supposed to ride them on like four. And they just don't care. And they is the general they. And I think where she's going is, well, if I'm already breaking the law because I'm riding my e-bike where I shouldn't, does it really matter if it makes 10% or 15% more power? It's this slippery slope of, like...
Well, this is what I'm saying is, clearly, with between people breaking the rules and riding these things where you're not supposed to, which clearly happens, and people riding not legal bikes, gray market bikes, throttle bikes that do 28 miles an hour... basically a Suron, whatever you want to call it, people riding way too powerful bikes where they're supposed to be riding them. I think between those two things, we're going to get e-bikes banned across the board is what's going to happen. That is the trajectory that we're on right now, in my opinion, is we're going to get e-bikes fully blanket banned.
Or we're going to have a bunch of dope moto trails.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they're just going to open up all these trails and say, all right, run what you brung.
God, I can't wait. The day that society collapses, I'm going to ride my two-stroke on all the good trails in town. I'm just going to do it. It's going to be dope.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep up morale once, you know, Matt's going to be like, okay, you holding down the fort. You got, like, your sniper position up on the roof. Got to protect the property. Yep, I got it. Okay, he's just going to fire up the moto and just tear ass down the driveway and ride his unplated moto up the highway and
what are you gonna
steal
do? You're
gonna, some gas.
You're going to rob the liquor store? Nah, I'm going to go ride my moto on a mountain bike trail.
Can you imagine how much fun it would be to rip up burn pile? All those little berms?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Especially on something small, you know, like a Suron or whatever.
Fucking two-stroke, baby. I'm going to ride the 250. Your boy's going to be bouncing.
You're
going
to be riding your trials bike on, like, Uncle Nasty.
I would ride my trials bike straight up Uncle Nasty. It'd be so dope. Can you imagine? Oh, God. I'm going to give one more trail that no one cares about. Can you imagine riding up Cottonwood on a moto? How fucking good that would be.
I would, like, if Salida trails are legal on e-bikes at some point, I don't know they will be. I'll definitely ride up. I like riding up Cottonwood on a normal bike when I'm, like, not just a hormone catastrophe that's just good at walking places. That's about what I can do now. I can walk and I can carry an animal trap like 100 yards.
I've got an idea.
I'm listening.
We've got RFID gates on these trails, on mountain bike trails, and it's got a pay system. You just got like an app on your phone, and if you want to pay, you can run a lap on your moto on a mountain bike trail. And then that money goes towards building more badass trails.
How much?
I don't know. We'll have to come up with a number. But whatever. I don't know. $100.
Like, it could be like a certain amount per mile or something.
$100.
$100, it opens the gate, and then you can go rip whatever, you know, super beloved mountain bike trail. You can rip it on your moto. And then that money just goes towards making new trails or maintaining those trails.
God. Infinite money glitch. Become a trail builder. Ride moto on trail. Get paid from moto money on trail to go build more trail.
Yeah.
Step 3, profit.
There you go.
I'm not going to poach any stuff, but
until society collapses.
That it doesn't count anymore. It's not poaching it once.
That's like, true.
What is that scene? What's that movie? Planet of the Apes, like the Statue of Liberty is like laying in the ocean. Like when that happens, like if there's any oil and gas left to put in the two-stroke, like, I don't know, rip up a trail, snort a Tony Montana amount of cocaine and just lay down and call it. Anyways, we should talk about new shit. We're going to start off with some bad stuff. I got to say here, Trek has really been like keeping the CSPC Consumer Product Safety, CPSC, in business this year.
Read the article. I know you're trying to do the CPSC one, but did you read the article? I can't remember. It was kind of a paywall site that did it. And it was stuff that we've talked about a long time ago with Trek, just saying that, unfortunately, I don't think they're doing great. And basically the article is saying, yeah, they're officially not doing great. I don't want companies to fail, especially bike companies to fail. I don't really want big ones to fail. Like Trek does a lot of really good stuff. They've got a lot of really good employees. I don't think they have any great bikes right now, unfortunately. But, I mean, I like them as a company. I like a lot of their, you know, services and everything. But anyway, just read that article and I was like, yeesh. It did not sound good. But continue.
Rear bolts break on some Trek and Electra e-bikes, recall because of breakage. According to the manufacturer of Hyena e-bike systems of Taiwan, which is on their most affordable e-bikes, the bolts may be affected by hydrogen embrittlement. There have been 7 reports of rear bolts breaking, but no injuries have been reported.
So it sounds like the hub drive axle, like the actual hub axle's snapping. Is that accurate?
I don't know.
That'd be my guess. Like Hyena, why would Hyena get involved?
The dealer will replace the original black rear wheel bolts with new silver rear wheel bolts. So it sounds like it's just a quick fix. So it doesn't seem like it's something that is that in-depth. I wonder if it's a problem. I wonder if these are just axle nuts.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like to me. Maybe they're like those bigger hub drive ones, right? Like 17 or 19 mil.
Yeah. The problem is that you were talking when I was trying to like figure this out. The thing that really pisses me off is if I am if I click on a picture on your website, it's supposed to get bigger.
I hate that when you like you're like looking at an article or whatever and you click on the picture so you can see a bigger version, it just opens up the same size with no zoom option.
That drives me nuts on PinkBike. You click on a picture and it like brings you to the fucking gallery, but it doesn't get any bigger. And then you click on that same picture once you're in the gallery. You're like, oh, I guess it gets bigger now. But then just opens up the same gallery again. And it's just this infinite cycle of small pictures. And I want to punch my screen.
Let the hate flow through you.
That looks like a...
It's like a bolt-on quick release kind of thing.
No, I have a feeling it is a BMX-style female bolt. Like, they call them female hubs because the instead of having an axle, you...
What the fuck is
axle,
a female bolt? Isn't that a nut? The fuck are you talking about? Female bolt?
Or they call them female hubs because it has a bolt that goes...
Oh, okay, like
it,
some single-speed stuff or, like, maybe BMX-y stuff.
That I just said a BMX female, and you just... anyways,
I don't know. I heard female bolt, and I got cranky.
You are cranky. All right, so let's see. Helmet supplier to Walmart refuses to conduct recall after CPSC says lids don't meet standards. So don't buy your helmets from Walmart. Gazelle USA is recalling 320 Urban Aero Family Next Pro cargo bikes because the Fidlock buckle to secure children in the cargo area can fail to fully engage. So, yeah, when you Danny McCaskill off some jumps and your kid flies out, those were recalled. Let's see. The Aero bag is an airbag in your bib shorts.
Can we just take a moment, scroll up just a second, to just notice how much that cyclist mannequin thing is double-cheeked up there? Just it's just got a large booty compared to the rest of the...
It just looks like my butt, so I'm used to it now.
All right.
Are you mannequin shaming?
No, I'm just saying.
No,
this.
I wasn't shaming. I was just commenting that they're... I mean, I think having a big butt's a good thing. Like, I kind of miss having a bigger butt than what I got now.
You can look at mine. So it's an airbag in your bib shorts. Doesn't look like it prevents testicular rupture, so I don't think it's going to help me. Yeah, it's...
It looks hot.
It looks hot, and it looks...
I mean, yeah, I like...
What's
there,
going on
well,
there?
Like, before it inflates, it's definitely like a nice slim thing, but I mean, all of that airbag is like right across the middle of your back. And that would just be fucking hot.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest problems we're going to see with widespread adoption across the pro peloton is right now we have a concussion protocol, which is if someone's visibly having issues, they may or may not be given the go-ahead to get back on their bike by the race doctor. And what kind of protocol would we have in place? Like, oh, your aero bag went off, so now you have to change bib shorts before you can continue. Like, hey, your helmet's broken, but you don't have a concussion, so you have to put a new helmet on to go ride. If we're going to say you have to wear an aero bag, but now you're going to, like, let's say you crashed at the beginning of a descent, and now you're going to be doing, like, 60 miles an hour through the cars without your aero bag on. Like, I don't know. I think it's going to, you know, motocross crashes are kind of like one and done, you know? So when those dudes get airbagged in those situations, I think it's super helpful for them. But
I think one of the supercross guys recently airbagged out on a crash, which is pretty cool.
He did. Yeah, I saw a thing on Facebook that they actually had all of the... They, like, got the little black box out of it and gave all the data of, like, time of inflation, number of Gs sustained on the first impact, the second impact, and, like, subsequent. And it was really cool. So,
oh, I want to see that. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot to really touch on here because, unfortunately, like, pro cycling is...
vain.
It's not vain. It's, I would say, steeped in tradition. And it also has people on the very ragged limit at all times. So the heat, I think, is going to be a tough one to overcome. Then, yeah,
I think we're going to see more of this airbag type stuff. The tech's getting really good. The street bike, motorcycle people have been doing it for a while. And now, like, dirt moto stuff, supercross style stuff, they're clearly using it, which is pretty cool. So I think we're going to see it definitely trickle down. It might not be this version and this brand, but I totally think we're going to see trickle down of that tech.
Yeah, speaking of trickle down tech, unreleased RockShox Boxer landed on the old eBay.
Yeah, so Matt, what you been doing?
It wasn't me.
No.
Love to know the backstory, without a doubt. I think a lot of people really love to know the backstory. I mean, who has... I got to be convinced that maybe it's like a disgruntled ex-employee kind of thing who's just like, fuck it, they can come after me, but like there's nothing they can do.
No.
There's no way it's anybody that's still involved in the bike world.
Well, did you see the speculation that they had on Pink Bike?
No.
The speculation is because this guy's eBay account has a bunch of just oddities, right? I'm looking at it now. AirPath panel mount compass, prescription safety glasses.
We have a Mercedes-Benz AMG customized steering wheel, forged red edition for $800.
Paintbrushes, mascara, Mama of Joy magnetic alphabet sensory bin. Let's see. Briska knives, instant granite countertop laminate.
You don't have to keep reading it. It's a bunch of random shit.
So there's speculation. There's speculation that this was like a lost package pallet purchase.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assumption. But also, he knew enough about it. His title, his own title, says unreleased. That's the first word.
I don't know. I think if you run an eBay store where you're just selling random shit that you got.
I'm looking at a screen grab right here. It says unreleased SRAM RockShox Boxer Ultimate, blah, 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 the Jeff store. Like, it is the eBay screenshot.
But I think, though, if you're the type of person that's selling this stuff, like if you get pallets and you have to figure out what the fuck it is and how much you should charge for it and people might actually buy it, you have to do that research. Like, you might have to learn all about RockShox Boxer forks until you're like, damn, this says prototype and it's nowhere on their website. You might look through some articles of like most recent releases and stuff and you're like, yeah, this is unreleased. And like, you can deduce that if you have a few brain cells, like you could figure that out if you weren't necessarily a bike person, but you're just a good eBay reseller of lots of random shit.
I wonder what the legality of that is. Again, you buy this thing and it has some unreleased product. What stops you from selling it? I don't know. It's a great question. Maybe nothing. Interesting stuff. But yeah, it looks like there's going to be a boxer that it's got a little doohickey at the bottom. It's got the old linear box.
Linear.
What did I say?
Linear. It's okay. Yeah. When I first saw the picture, I thought it just said liner. And I'm like, whatever.
I think that is where you're going. Look, we know SRAM is a progressive company.
Linear one?
Linear doesn't really make sense. What if it's line ARXL? What if that means the little pod on the bottom holds their line, panty liner, AR, all road, in extra large size? It's a panty liner holder.
That's interesting. That's, take. Yeah.
We should move on.
All right, what else we got?
Let's see. Old Man Mountain released a larger stuff sack that fits on the back of their rack, 12 liters.
It's a lot of liters.
It's 12 of them, a whole dozen. And then we're going to talk about something really dumb in a bad way and then something really dumb in a good way. The dumb or in a bad way, Salsa full suspension gravel e-bike, ? The Wanderosa. 120 in the front, 110 in the rear. With geometry numbers that don't make any sense.
Is that a mountain bike frame with drop bars pretty much, or is it actually like a gravel frame?
They're calling it a gravel e-bike.
Well, I know that's what they're calling it, but like, what size tire does it hold? What's the head tube angle?
Head tube angle is ridiculous at 65.
Okay, so it's a mountain bike.
It has a sit on it, so that's a mountain bike. The handlebars on an extra large are 52 centimeters wide, so that's a mountain bike. Let's see. You can run it at 100 in the rear by swapping the shock travel. I haven't found the tire clearance yet. 2.35.
So it's just a shitty mountain bike with drop bars.
And a battery.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Whatever.
Also, I just don't... We were talking off air a little bit about brands, and like, Salsa is a brand that I don't know. Like, even just, I'm looking at a photo, I got more pissed off mid-sentence because I realized the angle of the bar and the hood here. Like, I don't know what they're doing over there at Old Salsa HQ, but like put down the weed pen or the DMT pen and like start making cool bikes again. Stop making shit super boost. Stop trying to, you're not a mountain bike brand. You're a gravel brand and you need to make cool gravel bikes. No one wants the Wanderosa. We want the new, I know the name of it because they've talked about it online. They just haven't released it yet. It's the replacement for the Warbird. It's the Flyaway. Just release that damn thing already. Just
I think what
give
they
us
should
a-
do is they should only make kook bikes for the most part, like weird fat bikes and weird gravel bikes and all that kind of stuff, and then make kids bikes. Make some ubiquitous bike that you can get your name out in stores and you move product and you sell it. And it would also be a brand that everybody with a QBP account could get. And you just want to like stock some Salsa kids bikes. Freaking awesome. You can just do it.
They made kids bikes for a while, didn't they?
I don't know. Maybe I'm talking about like some price point stuff. Doesn't have to be the cheapest. They can even be slightly nice, but just have kids bikes. Don't make any of this other stuff. Make kook bikes and the weird, cool fringe stuff. And then make just kids bikes.
Yeah.
Make a Blackboro again.
Stop making these like medium-ish bikes. Just, I don't know who's buying them.
Well, and I can say that the reason why the drop bar hoods are pointed up, like the, so when you put a stupid sized drop bar on a bike, like a 52 centimeter bar, you have to do some stupid shit to make it try to be comfortable. Because, yeah, like having your hands, like, I don't know, just Superman'd out like that at that hand angle. Like on a mountain bike where your hands are turned a little bit more, it makes somewhat more sense. But not on that where you're like cantilevering your elbows at a weird angle because your hands, you know, like the crotch of your hand is pointed forward instead of it being like, you know, in a mountain bike position. Like it's just not going to be comfortable. So you got to do some stupid shit with your bar angle and where your hoods are and like all that to try to be like, yeah, got my wide bar because it gives me so much control. Yeah. It's just dumb. Like from a biomechanical standpoint, I don't mean like it looks dumb. I mean, the biomechanics of that hand position don't make any fucking sense for comfort.
And I will say this bike is at least, even though it's just a mountain bike, I guess geo-wise, they semi make it work. But this thing's at least semi-kook.
That is definitely a kook bike.
Yeah, but like I'm just going to keep bagging on Salsa. I know. What drive system does it have? Does anyone know?
Fazua Ride 60.
God, thank you. We had one of their confluences or something. We have never received the diagnostic tool for it. It's been on order since
the
bike. Yeah, the
Fazua stuff is, it's usually not that great.
No, we sold a bunch of these bikes and we can't fucking plug them in.
Sure.
They cannot provide us the tools to plug them in. Like, Q is the distributor for the tool. They can't get us the tool to be able to plug the bike in. So.
Can I talk about something that I'm a tiny bit sad about? Because I was the only one who liked it.
Real quick, I was correct. Salsa did make a Timberjack 24 back in 2018. So they did make a kid's bike. And if I remember correctly, it wasn't that expensive. It was just a fine little bike. All right, keep going.
All right. Grava has declared bankruptcy. So if you remember, those are the hubs that you can adjust tire pressure on the fly. And I think Kenny and Matt both hated these, and I thought it looks like a cool concept, and I hope that it is improved upon in the future and sold mass market. And it looks like they never got to that point. Yeah. So even though they had some like world-class wins with them in gravel, I think it was in like the World Gravel Championships.
I think someone raced them in Roubaix once.
Yeah, that too. They worked with tubes and tubulars, but apparently they had not figured out a very easy way to keep tubeless sealant. They had like a filter type system or a valve that had to be cleaned pretty regularly to keep tubeless sealant from clogging up the inflation tube. And they never got like a mass marketable, like, you know, something that was very little maintenance way of doing that before.
Like it was
they...
too F1.
What's that?
It was too Formula One. To NASCAR, not enough Toyota Camry.
Yeah, yeah. Like they didn't figure that out in time before they could, basically they say like they needed to be able to produce in volume and sell in volume in order to lower prices. But because they were so expensive, people weren't buying them, and like that just tanked them pretty much. And they don't know if someone's going to take that idea and run with it in the future, but for now that company is bankrupt.
She gone.
Probably
not for it.
No, finish your thought.
I was gonna say I wanted to say something that's really funny, or something that's really bad in a good way. The fucking Reserve SL Tune Pico carbon spoked blah blah blah.
That's what I was. That was literally my topic.
Oh my god, I didn't find a weight yet
it's down at the bottom. So my thoughts are those things look pretty fucking hot. I'm usually not a Tune hub fan, but like that color is like really classy in my opinion. And how about those carbon spokes? It's the industry standard ones that most people have been using for modern carbon spoke builds. And they work reasonably well from what I've seen. And they're freaking bladed this time, which is rowdy. I think they're really cool. But you're looking at 1140 grams for the shallowest ones, and then 1290 and then 1470 for the 5764 combo. $3,500 bucks for the wheel set, which is expensive, but kind of what I would think. I don't know. They seem pretty hot to me.
What's that weight on the latest, like the specialized hot shit Roval?
1,000 grams.
The mountain bike ones?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
The problem is, one, they're not aero.
I know.
And two, this is a real thing. So the controls are hookless. The control World Cups, they all are, but we're talking about the control World Cup. They're 20 spoked. They use the same spoke, right, Kenny?
The same brand spoke, but it's not.
I mean, like, but it's the same brand, so it's the same technology of spoke.
Yes.
And they are...
I understand they're melting wheels.
And they don't need to... So they're not aero, and they don't need to withstand road pressures. So
I get it. I know. I was just making sure everyone remembers that there's 1,000-gram mountain bike wheels out there.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just want to say, Matt's got this zip wheel opened up for the 3 NSW carbon clincher tubeless disc brake wheel. And every time I see NSW, I think of like the old internet days where like NSFW is not safe for work. And sometimes people just said NSW. And I think that every time I see the name of those wheels,
yeah, I think the same
like
thing.
Zip, not safe for work wheels. That's all. I just had to add that in there. I don't know if anyone else thinks about that.
Oh, 100%. Every time I see it, first thing I think of.
Good.
But yeah, I think those wheels are freaking hot. So Reserve SL. They look cool. They get my check of approval without actually seeing them at all.
I thought you were going to say they make your penis hard.
Nah, you know, medium.
I think that color of the Tune hub is just, it's like they stole the Shimano color there.
No. That's way more. So if that were a Shimano hub, one, it wouldn't have steel cartridge bearings inside, so...
Well, yeah, but I mean the color.
The moment a flake of dust got in there, it would explode, but...
I didn't mean the
Shimano has always
the
got
color.
That, like, shiny anodized thing going
Kenny,
on.
Kenny, you stole it from me. So if Shimano had just, like, ponied up and put steel bearings in their hubs instead of spending the extra money to make them shiny, that's where I was going, you would probably have a pretty decent hub, but... Also, I just want to throw it out there that Shimano's a bitch. SRAM owns Zip. Zip sells free hubs that work with everything on the market. You want to run Campy on their wheels? Bless you. Here you are. Here's a new Campy new hub. Yeah, that's N3U because it stands for new three-way because it works in three different ways. It's stupid. You want to run Microspline? You want to run XDR? You want to run this? You want to run... HG, road, whatever, they sell it to you. If you buy a Shimano wheel, fuck you. It's a road wheel. It's HG 11 speed. It's a modern mountain bike wheel, micro spline. Well, I got
a
customer.
Do you want to know why nobody buys Shimano wheels? It's twofold. One is they suck. And number two is they have the wrong free hub body always. So why would you buy them?
I don't think anyone does.
Well, there you go. Problem solved.
Problem solved. And also, for those of you out there that are like, man, these Reserve Tune wheel sets, $3,500. That's really stupid. Guess what? for every like 100 people that read this and rolled their eyes, some guy called their local bike shop and was like, hey, did you see those reserve 4249 SLs? Yeah. I need those for my Crux. Yeah. I'll come in at lunch tomorrow and give you a deposit. Thank you. So.
Right.
Fuck
you. You don't have to sell quite as many of those.
No, my point is like going back to like e-bikes, people buy them. Doesn't matter if it's right or not. Like every time I look at a Surly and I'm like, God, that bike could be so much better for like $7 more. People buy Surlys. I'm wrong. People buy these wheels. You're poor. I'm
speaking
poor.
Speaking of ceramic bearings.
God damn. Speaking of other things Matt can't afford.
Cycling Ceramic adds ceramic micro bearings to wax chain lube.
I just can't wait for like 10 years from now when we find out that microplastics were like evil, but graphene and like micro bearing ceramics are in my ball too.
Yeah. We don't have to get into it more. I want to know what Kenny thinks about, like, would you take ceramic bearings, Kenny, and put some micro bearing wax lube inside of the ceramic?
Like, no, it's chain lube.
I know. But you could take ceramic bearing, micro bearings, and put it in your ceramic bearings if you wanted to.
Yo, dog, I heard you like bearings, so I put some bearings in your bearings so they can bear while they bear.
Exactly.
Would I rather run ceramic bearings on all parts of my bike and then have to maintain said bearings? Or
never drive a Ridgeline again?
Or do I become a chain waxer? Which one is worse?
I think all the ceramic bearings. I think chain wax is not inherently terrible. It's just not necessary. I don't think it's bad. I just don't think it's as good as just regular ass lube. And please don't send me any zero friction stuff. I don't have the fucking attention span to read that guy's stuff. I know he's very thorough. No, even though he's shit on us in the past, I'm not going to shit on him because I think that he does a lot of very good research.
I will shit on every chain wax system on the fucking planet. I hate chain wax stuff so much.
Would you rather have ceramic bearings and everything?
I'd rather their lifestyle choice. They both really bum me out, is what I'm saying.
If you had to pick one or the other, which would it be?
I would wax my chain. Kenny, can I give you a reason first before you answer?
It depends on the level of responsibility on the ceramic bearings, because if I have to pay to replace them when they go crunchy.
Yes, you do.
I would probably go bankrupt.
That's what I was about to say.
It's once a week. So I'd probably have to choose the waxing the chain.
Here's the thing. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure the zero friction guy doesn't listen anymore because we suck. However, I've learned a lot since I said waxing your chain is stupid. I still think it's stupid, but now I have more data on why. So the amount of magical
companies out there, the Lucas Oils of the world, and all these people that they just want nothing more than to convince the general public that their little magic lube solves all the world's problems, and it just fucking doesn't. Like, is there incredible science in lube stuff and like industrial and blah, blah, blah? 100%. Like motor oil stuff, you can go down that rabbit hole forever, but there's some pretty established stuff that works. And when someone says they have this miracle shit, it's 9 times out of 10 not miracle shit, is what I'm saying.
Well, no, let me give you some reasons on why I'm still anti-chain wax. It's all really simple. And again, this is going to be data driven. So number one, it improves your drivetrain life. That's irrefutable. Great. I don't care.
I'm going to argue against that, but continue.
No. Well, Kenny, you can't argue with data that's been found independently. So I'm not going to let you rebut me on that because it is proven that a properly waxed chain, when properly maintained, is more efficient and is longer lasting.
I think that's the other problem is proper. The amount of customers that we have come in and they got some goddamn wax job on their chain and they're like, my bike doesn't work or it doesn't shift or it's making a weird noise. And it's like making horrible noises, not shifting for shit. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to put some lube in your chain and your bike's going to work. And they're like, oh my God, don't do that. It's like, fuck, every single goddamn wax job that comes into our shop is fucking broken. Every damn one of them.
But you don't – people come to you when their shit doesn't work. They don't come to you and go, goddamn, look how good my bike works because I actually waxed it properly. So a properly waxed chain is faster. A properly waxed chain does last longer. However, there's a couple of things that I think we need to evaluate with this. One, and I'm going to give some information on why I don't care that it's faster before I tell you why I'm not going to wax my chain. But some of the things that do matter are time. The amount, like when we talk about chains lasting longer, oh, every 600 kilometers I was doing a new wax. Okay, well, great. So you made two chains last 10,000 kilometers, 6,000 miles. That's great. Yeah, but you can get like 1,000 miles out of a chain. So if you can get 1,000 miles out of one chain or 6,000 miles out of two, you're only getting like three times as good. My house isn't that big. My workshop's not that big. So now I need to spend up front. There's going to be a cost of purchasing the infrastructure. I'm going to need an ultrasonic cleaner to properly clean my chain. I'm going to need a way of properly disposing chemicals that are used to strip a new chain. I'm going to need those chemicals to properly strip my chain. I'm going to need an abundance of quick links because I'm going to be swapping my chains with a higher frequency. I'm going to need the time to do all of these steps and store them and maintain them and log this and log that. And I care more about my time. Like if you told me tomorrow I could open a brand new chain, strip it with denatured alcohol or whatever and ultrasonic clean it and this and then air hot, like use a blow dryer to dry it before it flash rusts and then get it into wax and all this stuff. And then I need a little jig with a couple of pulleys that I can drive with a drill so I can break my chain in before I install it so it shifts properly. All these things exist for 8 watts. The problem is I have dug and dug and dug and no one will tell me where those 8 watts occur because drivetrain losses are not, they're not even. When it, let's go, I'm going to give you three extremes.
Where are you going with this? This is getting long.
It's getting long on purpose because we've been told we're dumb because we don't believe in wax. I'm telling you about all the problems with wax. We get 8 watts, but no one's told me where I get those 8 watts. Is it 8 watts at 800 watts? Is it 8 watts at 100 watts? See, that's a big difference. We're talking about an 8% efficiency increase or a 1% efficiency increase. Also, is that in my 50-10 or is that in my 50-36 or is it probably in my magical like 50-16 that's like perfectly straight? Oh, well, how much time do I spend in that gear? Because when you start to side load the chain, you're going to get different frictional losses. Oh, the angle that the derailleur is at. So your 50-10 is going to be your least efficient gear because while the 50 is very large in diameter, the angle of the chain breaking over the 10 is causing more friction. And then the angle of the pulley, the chain is redirecting in different directions multiple times with a sharper bend. That's less efficient. That's one of the reasons that in time trials, you'll see dudes running it's dudes in the tour and stuff. They run like a 68 tooth chain ring so they can stay in the middle of the cassette because the small gears aren't as efficient as the big gears. So I need to know where those 8 watts are coming from. Now, my closing argument is the same people, Silka guys, that preach the 8 watts, they did wind tunnel testing. You know how else you can get 8 watts or you can lose 8 watts? You can lose 8 watts by putting a few empty gel packets into a thigh pocket on like an adventure bib. I want everyone at home, before you start waxing your chain, I want you to go get your jersey tailored so it fits skin tight. I want you to buy aero socks. I want you to get a more aero seat bag. I want you to start using your top two bag behind the stem because that's one of the most efficient places you can put it. I want you to get a more aero bar tape because believe it or not, the super slick bar tape like Super Kaz is less aero than a slightly fuzzy tape because the fuzzy tape breaks the air up and it disperses around the backside of a non-aero handlebar better. I want you to size all of your cables as short as possible without impending turning. And I want you to do everything else first. And then I want you to go get those 8 watts from waxing your chain.
You know, I can just sum all of this entire conversation up with one statement.
Shit's whack.
Lube your chain, and lubing your chain somehow with something that is a petroleum-based product or a synthetically produced
Hit it with that dino juice.
Whatever, like some kind of substance that reduces friction. And that's going to be better than not lubing your chain with anything.
Yeah, that's true too.
There you go. That's all you got to know. Like,
I have yet to see a single bike come in our shop, period, with a properly waxed chain. Not a single one.
99% of the people out there, just if your chain is lubed, it's better than not lubing your chain.
And my closing argument, because what Andrea just said is true, hey, you need to clean up your chain, lube your chain, clean it up some more. Wipe all the excess lube you can off your front chain ring, off the rear cassette, yada, yada, yada. Here's the other thing that I have done. And then I got hurt and I haven't really been riding and no one gives a shit because I sob story all the time. I said, if I'm going to be a dickhead and say I'm going to say waxing is stupid, I purchased Silco Synergetic Wax Lube or Synergetic Wet Lube, which is the fastest traditional lube on the market, according to Zero Friction Labs. So I paid $25 retail for a little bottle of lube and I read the instructions. I did it. And guess what? My bike shifts like it has lube on the chain. So if I'm going to be a dickhead, I'm going to be a dickhead with data. That's something that's really changed over the last decade of us yelling into microphones. One, I'm not drunk anymore. Two, Chris Cocalis can't fucking come after me. And three, I mean, he can, just personally, though.
He can't come to your job. He could still show up at the bike shop and be like, I don't like you.
If you ain't from my hood, you can get from around here. But in all seriousness, I'm going to be a dickhead with data. And the people that I know that are waxing their chains are people, like one of the people that I know that is like over the moon on wax rides in baggy clothes. Like if you,
but you know what? His chain's waxed and it's lubed somehow, and that's better than if it was dry. So we should just leave it at that.
I'd rather go in dry.
All right. Well, we recorded too long.
Do we not have
to...
a listener question?
Nah, we've done too much for listener questions.
I want to do one.
I don't.
Okay, well, start reading.
And if you guys are done with new shit and yelling into microphones, we'll read patrons and wrap it up. Kenny's
holy,
up.
Wait, I got a great one. Kenny started off with 850 is not 750, and I said I'm going to be a dickhead with data. So it came full circle. Like, Kenny has data. Like, numerically speaking, 850 is not 750, and numerically speaking, 8 watts can be solved or found in many other places before diving into waxing your chain. We are fucking good.
All right. Well,
at $10 a month.
We have one $9.99 per month, but apparently Dave doesn't want me to read his name on air. So at $10 a month, we have Kurt, Skunk in Your Trap, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, Burt Reynolds, Crusty Stash, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds Mustache, Taper Bore Pro, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans, Free Gabe Horn, Cam Irish One, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, My Name is Clayton, Ride Time Extended, JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Tom's P, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Carmenin Cider, Ty, Noah, Cool Beans, She Nasty.
No. She Nasty.
No, like my name is Clayton. Frank the Tank. Goat Roper. Butt Stuff. Chat GPT.
Fuck you.
At $11.11 per month. Candace Cockfit. At $14 Australian, Patamillion Disco Ball. And at $16.50 Australian, we have big PSA announcement. We at JRA love chain waxing.
Just shut her down. Fuck her.
It's $20 a month. We have Brian, Scott, Joe. I want a mustache ride from Burt Reynolds. Poop Wrench at $26.06 per month. My name is not Clayton. Harley at 30. Troy at 31. And Six Pack Outdoors now offering discounted Venezuelan fishing boat tours. It's a blast. At Fitty. I like all of the Clayton variations here.
Kenny, you got anything else to add tonight?
Nope. Shut it down.
Okay, bye. Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.